Another significant parenting aspect is understanding when to initiate a meaningful conversation. It's about timing, not merely responding. This is recognized as the fifth action for you to learn and conduct. Let's explore the concept of avoiding real-time emotional reactions. This topic is so broad that we have a dedicated course for it on the MKH courses pages. Nevertheless, I'll provide a brief overview in this section. Real-time interactions tend to happen amidst heated moments. Picture this. Your child is yelling, tears are flowing, and anger is palpable for you and your little one. In the heat of an argument or disagreement, it's not the ideal time to instill values or discuss household rules. You may find yourself unable to have a productive conversation during such high-stress moments. Many parents, in the throes of a yelling match, attempt to reiterate their household values, saying things like, "We've already told you this isn't acceptable behavior in our home." However, such discussions tend to be fruitless, as the emotional intensity prevents the message from truly sinking in. The child might react by crying even more, which can lead to increased frustration and, potentially, regrettable words. This is not the time or place for discussing values and behavioral changes. Instead, the right time for such discussions is during what we call conversation time, which is a period of calm. These calming moments could be part of the quality time we've previously talked about, or moments before bedtime, a story, or a peaceful car ride. During these moments, we can truly express to our children how their behavior affects us. How does it make us feel? Discuss your emotions openly. Share your parental feelings. When children realize that their actions have consequences and that someone else is hurt or struggling to accept their behavior, they begin to see the situation from a more empathetic perspective. They understand that they are not the only ones involved in the scenario. Instead of placing blame and saying things like, "You always behave like this," or "You are always throwing things," focus on expressing your own feelings. Say something like, "I find it challenging when I see things being thrown around the house," or "It's hard for me to hear disrespectful language." Express your viewpoint while simultaneously setting boundaries, such as, "In our home, we don't use bad language." After discussing your perspective and establishing new boundaries in your home, it's important to give your children space to express their feelings when they're angry and to offer help in managing their anger. Ask them, "What would help you calm down when you're upset? Would a hug or some quiet time be helpful?" You might say, "When you rudely speak to me, it hurts me, and I need some time to relax. I understand that you're probably angry too. Let's think about what could help you in those moments." It's completely acceptable to show that you're angry, but it's more important to demonstrate how to manage that anger. By staying in control, you're modeling healthy behavior and providing a sense of security for your children, even when anger seems to take over. It's vital to reassure your children that you'll still be there for them and help them navigate their emotions, even after these intense moments. Apply this same strategy if there's yelling in the house or if there are behaviors you'd like to change. The last action for you is not to take things personally. If a child says, "I don't love you," don't take it to heart. Respond with, "I understand that you're angry, and once you've calmed down, I'll be here for you." Children often don't know how to appropriately express their anger and end up saying hurtful words in an attempt to express their feelings. However, they're not truly aiming to wound us, but the opposite. What do they seek? Comfort with hugs and closeness. Let me paint you a picture of my personal experiences as a parent. Every time my daughter goes through an episode of anger, my instant reaction is to hold her in a comforting hug. This simple act of affection profoundly influences her, and her distress melts away into the embrace. Even though she may continue to shed tears and utter harsh words, she finds her calm remarkably quickly. On the contrary, if I were to dismiss her feelings and withhold attention, the duration of her distress would only prolong. Worse still, her reactions might amplify, leading to an escalation in her anger. To alleviate her distress quickly and provide her with comfort, I strive to be emotionally available for her. Any harsh words she might express during her fits of anger, including statements such as "she doesn't love me," I opt to disregard temporarily. I understand that these statements don't echo her true feelings. After all, isn't it a familiar scenario where we end up saying things in moments of anger that we don't really mean? In these emotionally charged moments, I approach her, hold her in a hug, and she promptly finds her peace. This is because she recognizes the need for this emotional connection. Through this parenting approach, I've imparted a valuable lesson to my daughter, that she can rely on my support in times of anger. She anticipates my reassuring presence and articulates her need for it, saying, "Do you know why I'm crying?" "Because I just want a hug." And so we share a healing hug, which significantly shortens the duration of her angry outburst, almost magically resolving within seconds. These are the parenting strategies that you need to adopt. We'll soon provide a summary, but I would be delighted if you could already start contemplating your initial actions on this parenting journey. Think about what aspects of your current parenting approach you'd like to modify, beginning as soon as tomorrow. We'll delve into this discussion further in just a moment.